With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, there's been a lot of reports out there. I can't say I agree with all of them, certainly. But I support this guy. You know, I think that's what needs to be said. I don't know what anybody's writing or what anybody thinks, but this foot injury wasn't his fault. You know, this was a total accident. It really wasn't his fault, and it's a serious injury. I know some people are smarting at it, but it's really not a laughing matter. The guy was hurt. He was innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. And the helmet thing is a personal matter to him. You know, he has a strong feeling about what he's worn on his head, and we're supporting him. We understand the league's position as well, so we're in a tough spot. And we hope Antonio is back here soon because he's exciting to be around. I'm excited. I got some plays for him. I hope we can start calling him.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
John Gruden throwing his support behind Antonio Brown, who has put it out there on Instagram that he will be headed back to Napa and Raiders training camp very soon. I don't know how he defines soon. We shall see. He's not been with the team since July 30th, but he has lost his grievance to continue wearing the helmet he's worn his entire career. The arbitrator had ruled very swiftly, and what we've heard is that the arbitrator was sympathetic to his cause and to his reasons, but was very firm in the response that Antonio Brown cannot wear a helmet that is not regulated by safety standards and is more than 10 years old. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're so pleased to welcome Steve Tasker, who's a former All-Pro receiver and special teamer with the Buffalo Bills, now in Spartanburg, South Carolina, where the Bills and Panthers are doing joint practices this week. And Steve, I really wanted to speak to a former player, so thank you so much for your time. Antonio Brown now has to update his helmet. He lost that grievance. What's your reaction to all this uproar regarding the type of helmet that players have to wear?
Guys are pretty particular about their helmets, no question about it. Most of them realize that it's going to be taken out of their hands, no question about it. But I know guys back in the day when I played, they fought tooth and nail over getting new helmets. And if they did have to get a new one, they wanted the exact make and model of the one they gave up. It's okay if a guy's in the league maybe 1 or 2 years, but if he starts to play 8, 9, 10 years, the helmets get better and better. And like I said, if the equipment staff didn't get their helmet at the end of the season and replace it or destroy it, they wanted to wear that same helmet again. So they are particular about it. But today it's a little different. You know, the helmets are so important and they're so technologically advanced. I get guys being particular about feeling good when they're on the field and all that, but with the number of helmets that are on the market and the models available, I'm pretty surprised they can't find one they like.
So one of the things that Antonio Brown had said, and we've heard other players too, Tom Brady, talk about having to change helmets and it's uncomfortable, but one of the things that Brown said specifically was about limiting peripheral vision. Is it really that different when you're talking about switching from one model of a helmet, and you mentioned using it for a long time, he used it his entire career now, almost a decade, to now another one?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I were him, I'd try on, you know, 50 different helmets, making sure I found one that I could see him. But you're right. It is a completely different feeling. I remember when I got pulled off special teams for a short time to play wide receiver, and it was going to be a regular thing. I had to change face masks because I couldn't see well enough out of the bottom of my face mask to catch the ball or track it in flight. So, and even that was, it kind of bothered me. Yeah, vision is the thing. It's fit, how it feels, how much it weighs is a big thing for a lot of guys. And also, the vision is critical. You've got to be able to see out of it. And if there's a blind spot in it, or if you can't see as far in your peripheral at the edge of your vision field as you want, or if you have been able to in the past, it really makes you feel vulnerable. feel like you can't see everybody. And that's not a comfortable feeling when you're running down the field. So, vision and fit are critical elements for it, how much it weighs. Plus, even if you get one that fits and it feels good and it's light enough, it makes you, doesn't make you feel like it's too heavy. Even then, there's a breaking in process for most helmets that makes you feel like you got to wear the thing 3 weeks before it actually feels like your helmet. And nobody wants to go through that. So
maybe like breaking in a new baseball or softball glove. It feels so strange when you first put it on.
Oh, yeah. It feels stiff, tight, and there's, you know, parts of it push against your skull, and you take it off, and you got, you know, it leaves marks on your forehead and your temples and the back of your head and your neck. It just takes a long time for your body to get used to it and for that helmet to feel like it's yours. It's like any other new thing. The players are going to have to get used to it, no question. But in the long run, the benefit is obvious. The precaution is obvious. And it's going to be a balance for these helmet companies to make one that players love to wear and as yet it's safe as it can be.
Steve Tasker, a longtime Bill with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So I think a lot of us laughed when we heard the stories about Antonio Brown trying to repaint his old helmet and sneaking onto the field during OTAs. He did have some time to try to get adjusted to it and instead was trying to sneak his old helmet onto the field. As someone who played, you mentioned guys really not liking to adjust. Does that surprise you then that he would attempt to do whatever he could to get it back on the field?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get it done. I mean, you can paint it, you know, go from black to silver, you know, that kind of thing. You could paint it, give it a coat of paint. But not too much gets by the equipment guys, because what players don't understand is when the stadium's empty and they're off doing their thing, the equipment guys are hanging the helmets and putting them up on the racks. They examine every piece of equipment to make sure it's okay. In fact, a lot of equipment guys will examine the helmet so closely if they find a hairline crack or a screw or a fitting that is broken, they'll replace it without ever telling the player, you know? Mm. And there's no way Antonio was going to get on the field with anything other than a regulation helmet. It just doesn't happen.
One of the things that the NFL, especially this commissioner, Roger Goodell, has made his platform in the last 10 years has been about safety with new research, the regulations that have come out, the rules changes for sure. So I'm glad that the arbitrator drew a hard line here and didn't make an exception for Antonio Brown. I'm not even sure if that would have been possible. But how different is that from when you played in the 90s? I know you retired in late 90s, but how different is it to have the league so vocal about this kind of stuff?
It's very different. I don't remember in my career, I played 13 years, I don't remember ever having a situation where the league was vocal about player safety like that. I can't remember any instance where the league took a stance outwardly or publicly that of that nature. It's a different climate, no question. They're thinking too, and kudos to the league for thinking that long term when you got kids that you want to start playing the game so that they can funnel into your league and keep you supplied with great players. They got to start when they're kids, and moms don't want their kids playing in a game that is unsafe fundamentally. And so when the league, and it's true too, that when the NFL adopts a stance and starts to take safety seriously, it trickles very quickly down through the lower ranks in football. And it'll get down to kids leagues and high school, college, and the like very quickly. So I think the league's doing the right thing, but you're correct in stating it's of late. It has not been a lifelong observation of mine that the league's interested at all in player safety. This is a recent development, but I do think it's for the best.
Do you think it's sincere?
I think so. I think the league also feels like it's as many black eyes as the league takes, because they're the 800-pound gorilla. I mean, nobody's cheering for them, you know. I mean, everybody, they like the players. They think the players are what does it. They don't appreciate the discipline that the league hands out. They don't appreciate the no-fun league. They don't appreciate the lack of spontaneity. They think it's a little bit too buttoned up, most people do, generally speaking. But I think on this part, I think it's one place where the league could do this and not take a black eye for it. And I think that on some level, it's got to feel good to the commissioner doing something that even the fans like, and even if the players don't.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
There's the snap. Allen looks into the end zone. Plenty of time. Scans the end zone. Now he cocks his arm, runs to his right. He may keep it himself. Allen at the five. Into the end zone. He goes. Touchdown! Touchdown! Josh Allen does it yet again! Touchdown, Buffalo!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
John Murphy, the voice of the Buffalo Bills, and along with Steve Tasker, they have One Bills Live, special Bills programming on the radio, home for the Bills in Western New York. That's Sports Radio 550. Steve, most recently of NFL on CBS, is now exclusively Bills, and he's with us here this morning after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So, Steve, it's good to have a couple more minutes with you. Thanks so much for hanging on. You're with the Bills as they're in Spartanburg, South Carolina, to join the Panthers for a few practices before their preseason clash this weekend. As a former player, how do you like this idea of putting two teams together during training camp for some practices?
I think it's really excellent. In fact, I would say, down the road, I would say most teams will do this at least once. And I think on the horizon, this is just my thoughts, I think it's even better than preseason games. I think, you can structure the practices, you can get what you want out of it without putting the guys at so much risk like you would in a game where you can't really, you have to kind of turn them loose. I think when it's in a controlled situation like practices are, in joint practices, I think it's a much safer atmosphere, and I think they get as much out of the competition as they would if they played a preseason game. And I think if the league ever does go to an 18-game regular season and a two-game preseason, you can bet that joint practices will be the rage. I think you can get as much out of a couple of joint practices as you do out of a game. Mm. So I think teams and head coaches are starting to realize that, and it's becoming more commonplace.
Are you in favor of an expanded regular season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am. I think so. I'd rather, if they're going to play four preseason games, you may as well make two of them count. I don't think they need four preseason games. I think most of the rosters are pretty much set, probably down through at least of the 53 men. I think most teams go through into training camp with a minimum of 40 guys they know are going to be on the team. If it's lower than that, I would be surprised. Most teams know the top 40 guys on their roster, and the bottom 13 at the end of it are guys that they churn through throughout the season anyway, or at least five or eight of them will get churned through the bottom of the roster anyway through tryouts and stuff, and they'll just try to upgrade athletically, or due to injuries at one position, they'll let guys go and sign other guys on. So, I think an 18-game schedule is fine. You don't need four preseason games. Make two of the games count. I would throw in an extra bye week. What I got to tell you, they should start the league three weeks earlier, and then the entire league should have Labor Day weekend off as a regular, as an all-time bye. Everybody gets Labor Day weekend off, so we don't have to watch. We can all go to do our barbecue thing without having to worry about it, right? So that would be a built-in bye week. You'd build in more rest time for these guys, and I think that's the crucial thing. We found out very quickly when they installed the bye weeks, it used to be a pat question that every interviewer would ask when the bye week rolled around. They'd say, hey, is this a great time for a bye week? And the answer, no matter whether it was week one or week 17, say, yes, it is a great time for the bye week. So, give them a couple weeks off during the season, throw a couple extra games that matter on there, start it a little bit earlier so it doesn't go in all the way into February, and give everybody Labor Day weekend off. So that's my idea. So you can throw that into the ring with all the other suggestions, too.
All right. Steve Tasker wants Labor Day weekend off. Got it. So now you've seen the Bills a lot, but you're seeing Josh Allen now for his second training camp. And I always wonder about the adjustments from year one to year two. especially for quarterbacks. There's so much to absorb. It's only one preseason game, but I thought he looked really good. How does he look to you so far?
Yeah, they're coaching him up good, and he's working really hard at it. Certainly, yet last year they had all kinds of issues around him that they've tried to address. His offensive line was very poor last year. They could not run the ball well at all. They couldn't protect him very well at all. His receiving core was a mishmash of rookie free agents and veterans who were checked out. They tried to fix that. They released Kelvin Benjamin. When Robert Foster finally got to the point where he could at least catch passes down the field. But as for Josh Allen, they've tried to fix a lot of things around him, and they worked on him, and he's taken part in it too. He's getting coached up. So I think with the upgrade in people around Josh Allen and this coaching staff's dedication to getting him to make better decisions, I think he's got the physical ability. Certainly once in a while he'll loft a pass or throw one that's not quite pinpoint. But for the most part, he tries to make too many really, really difficult throws. When they can get him to make easier and better decisions, take the easy throws that are there, it'll go a long way towards making him a much better quarterback. And a lot of their offensive periods and a lot of the things they're talking to him about this training camp have been about making better decisions.
They certainly did bring in a lot of free agents on the offensive side of the ball. Defense, though, we know the Bills are generally really physical and tough. How do they look so far in camp?
Well, they're returning 10 starters from the group, and they got deeper at cornerback. They brought Kevin Johnson in, who's really had a solid camp. They've got Taron Johnson, slot corner, Levi Wallace, who played very well last year for them. And they're all vying for the position opposite Tre'Davious White, who's the number one corner. They've got two, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, two really good safeties that are extremely good together. Their defense really is salty, and I think it's even going to be much, much better this year. They've got a deep rotation on their defensive line. They've got depth at all three levels of their defense. Tremaine Edmonds, who is an absolute genetic freak playing middle linebacker. He's 9 feet tall. I mean, the guy's got a 9 foot. He's the biggest. He may be the tallest, rangiest middle linebacker in the NFL today. He's very rangy, very tall, great athlete.
Wow!
And he is really took great strides. He was a rookie defensive player of the league in the month of December last year. He is starting to spread his wings and really assert himself as the master of the defense. And so on that side of the ball, they are very good, and they look to be very, very, very dominant at times this year. We'll see. But they're going to be very tough to score on and very difficult to run the football on. And on the offensive side, you're right. Tons of free agents.
Yep.
There's going to be four brand new starters on the offensive line, new tight ends, new wide receivers, all to help Josh Allen try and take another step forward in his second year.
He's a former Buffalo Bills All-Pro and formerly of NFL and CBS, but now you can hear him as the co-host of One Bills Live on WGR, which is the home of Bills Radio in Western New York. Steve Tasker, it's always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.